Dapper blessing to each and every one of our dear brethren that are joining us in the room, for those that will be listening on the phone and also on the radio and later on the recording. Sabbath blessing, everyone. We are going to continue in our review from our study back in April 22, 2007. But this is September 9, 2017. This is lesson 227. We are continuing chapter 49 entitled At of Tabernacle Part 2. Our opening song is a scripture song from the book of Psalms 100 verses 1 through 4 from the King James Version. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, O ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that, O Lord, he is God. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gate with thanksgiving, and into his court with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. And the memory verse, it is he that has made us and not we ourselves. If any one of the little one, mommies or daddies, or even our guests would like to open with prayer, bubble up.
If we call on you and bow our heads and our hearts. Our Father, we thank you for the spirit that held us this day. We thank you for the spirit to wake us up this morning. We thank you for the spirit to have in another blessed day. Forgive us all for our sins and iniquities now across our spirits. Let us remember what is true, what is false, and what is right. I pray that you may be able to comfort us if we are ever sick or hurt. And I pray that Sister Haley, Sister Christina, and the girls will all be okay from from these colds. I pray that you may be able to. We thank you for letting us be able to have safe child mercies to be over here. Also, I pray that you may be able to let us be comforted from all the troubles that we may have or that we may encounter. Let us be able to also keep in mind that you are always there to help us find solutions to even the toughest problems. We love you, Lord God, looking forward to being in the line that you promised us. This is my prayer in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Our opening scripture is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 12, verse 2, from the King James Version, and it reads, Behold, God is my salvation. I trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. This Sabbath, boys and girls, we will continue with part 2 of our review lesson entitled At the Feast of Tabernacle. In our storybook, Desire of Ages. If any one of the dear family would like to take the following verses, bubble up.
Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3. Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. Exodus chapter 15, verse 2. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. Amen.
John 7:1. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. John 7:2. Now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand.
John 7:3. Sabbath blessing, everyone. His brethren, therefore, said unto him, Depart hence, and go into Judea, that the disciple also may see the work that thou hast done. John 7:4. For there is no man that does anything in secret, and he himself seek to be known openly. if thou do these things, show thyself to the world. John 6:48. I am the bread of life. Amen. John 6:51.
I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world.
So let us continue, dear ones. We will discover pages 449 through 451.
Desire of Ages, page 448. He bore the flagon to the altar, which occupied a central position in the court of the priest. Here were two silver basins with the priest standing at each other. The flagon of water was poured into one and the flagon of wine into the other, and the contents of both flowed into a pipe. Excuse me. Was communicated with the Kidron and was conducted to the Dead Sea. And on the side it says, two silver basins with the priest standing at each one, the altar.
Desire of Ages, page 449. This display of the consecrated water represented the fountain that at the command of God had gushed from the rock to quench the thirst of the children of Israel. Then the jubilant strains rang forth, the Lord Jehovah is my strength in my song. Therefore, what joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation? Isaiah 12:2-3. Desire Ages, page 449, paragraph 1. And on the bottom side it says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song.
Isaiah 12:2. Amen.
Forgive me, dear ones. The system here is kind of fast. Question, boys and girls. What did the display of the consecrated water represent? And what did the jubilant stream which ran forth state? If you know the answer to the question, dear ones, bubble up.
The answer is, this display represented the fountain that, at the command of God, had gushed from the rock to quench the thirst of the children of Israel. And the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. Amen.
Learn our first beautiful scripture song together, dear ones. And this one is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 12, verse 2.
Trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is my salvation. Isaiah 12:2.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let us continue.
The sins of sons of
Joseph
made
preparation
to attend the feast of temples.
Tabernacles.
They saw that Christ made no movement.
Signifying
his intention of attending anxiety since the healing that at
Bethsaida,
he had not
attended.
Attended. the nationals
gathering
mm-hmm.
to a voice
mm-hmm.
useless conflict with the
leaders
at
Jerusalem.
He had rested.
Restricted. It does have rested. It's restricted.
Restricted his labor to
Galilee. Good job, Layla. Praise the Lord. Good job, everyone. Question, boys and girls, mommies and daddy, and also our guests. What did the sons of Joseph see in Christ as they made preparation to attend the Feast of Tabernacle? And why were they watching him with anxiety? And what did he do to avoid useless conflict with the leaders at Jerusalem? If you know the answer to the question, dear ones, bubble up.
The answer is they saw that Christ made no movement signifying his intention of attending. And since the healing at Bethesda, he had not attended the national gatherings. He had shifted his labors to Galilee.
Continuing, Desire of Ages, page 450. His apparent neglect of the great religious assemblies and the enmity manifested toward him by the priests and rabbis were a cause of perplexity to the people about him, and even to his own disciples and kindred. In his teachings, he had dwelt upon the blessings of the obedience of the law of God, and yet he himself seemed to be indifferent to the service which had been divinely established. His mingling with the publicans and others of ill repute, his disregard of their rabbinical, I'm saying it right, I feel like I'm saying it wrong, observations. Next slide, please.
That was rabbinical. And continuing, question, boys and girls, what were causes of perplexity to the people above him, and even to his own disciple and his kindred? And why did Jesus' brothers think it a mistake for him to alienate the great and learned men of the nation? If you know the answer to the question, dear ones, bubble up.
His apparent neglect of the great religious assemblies and the empty mass towards him by the priests and rabbis in their fact
must be in the right, and that Jesus was at fault in placing himself, bless you, or placing himself in antagonish. I don't know how to say the word. Antagonism to them?
The word is antagonism, dear sister.
Desire of Ages, page 450, continuing. And the freedom which he set aside the traditional requirements concerning the Sabbath, all seeming to place him in antagonism to the religious authorities, excited much questioning. His brothers thought it a mistake for him to alienate the great and learned men of the nation. They felt that these men must be in the right, and that Jesus was at fault in placing himself in antagonism to them. Next slide, please.
Continuing the reading, Desire Ages, page 450. For they had witnessed his blameless life and thought that they did not rank themselves with his disciples. They had been deeply impressed by his work. His popularity in Galilee was gratifying to their ambition. They still hoped that he would give an evidence of his power, which would lead the Pharisees to see that he was what he claimed to be. What if he were the Messiah, the Prince of Israel? They cherished his thought with proud satisfaction. Desire Ages, 450, paragraph 1. Amen.
Praise the Lord. And welcome to all the precious family that are joining us. Question, boys and girls, mommies and daddies, and all guests, what had they witnessed and had been deeply impressed by Jesus, though they did not rank themselves with his disciple? And what did they still hope that Jesus will give? If you know the answer to the question, dear ones.
The answer is they witnessed his blameless life. They had been deeply impressed by his works. His popularity in Galilee was gratifying to their ambition, and they still hoped that he would give an evidence of his power, which he would lead the Pharisees to see that he was what he claimed to be.
Amen.
Desire of Ages, page 450. So anxious were they about this that they urged Christ to go to Jerusalem. Depart hence, they said, and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou dost. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. The if expressed doubt and unbelief. They attributed cowardice and weakness to him. If they knew that he was the Messiah, why this strange reserve and inaction? If he really possessed such power, why not go boldly to Jerusalem and assert his claims? Why not perform in Jerusalem the wonderful works reported of him in Galilee? Do not hide in secluded provinces, they said, and perform your mighty works for the benefit of ignorant peasants and fishermen. Present yourself at the capital with the support of the priests and rulers, and unite the nation in establishing the new kingdom.
Good job, everyone. Question, boys and girls, how anxious were they about this that they urged Christ to go to Jerusalem? And what did they say to Jesus that their attribute cowardice and weakness to him? If you know the answer to the question, ba-ba-la.
So anxious that they said, depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works of thou doest. For there is no man that doeth any in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. And if thou do these things, show thyself to the world. If he really possess such power, why not go boldly to Jerusalem and assert his claims?
These brothers of Jesus reasoned from the selfish motive so often found in the hearts of those ambitious for display. This spirit was a ruling spirit of the world. They were offended because instead of seeking a temporal throne, Christ had declared himself to be the bread of life. They were greatly disappointed when so many of his disciples forsook him. They themselves turned from him to escape the cross of acknowledging what his works revealed, that he was the sent of God. Desire of Ages, page 451, paragraph 1.
Amen. Good job. Question, boys and girls, what brought about the motives of these brothers of Jesus, and where is this spirit from? And why were they offended and greatly disappointed? If you know the answer to the question, once, blah, blah.
We think from
selfish
motives. So often found in the hearts of those
ambitious
or for
display.
This spirit was the
ruling
spirit of the Lord, and they were
offended
because instead of seeking a
temporal
throne, Christ had declared himself to be the bread of life. They were greatly
disappointed
when so many of his disciples forsook him.
Lord, let us learn our last beautiful scripture song together, dear ones. And this one was taken from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 9, verse 23 and 24 from the King James Version.
All right, boys and girls, we're going over April 22 of last year, but you'll receive a blessing just the same. His principles are to be our principles. Now, you remember what I told you last time, so I don't need to explain that again, right?
Right.
Now, what does that mean? It means that Jesus lived and taught what we are to live and teach. That's principles. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. John 13:15. In this age, or the 21st century, or 2017, we are pained or saddened to see that children and youth look upon themselves as too far advanced to submit themselves to the control of their parents. Submitting to your mama and daddy's control is good and proper. They are trying to train you up to be beautiful flowers in the garden of God. Without this training, you would just grow up to be useless weeds. They seem to imagine that to yield to parental authority or to do what you're told by your parents would be an evidence of weakness, a sacrifice of their rightful independence. But instead of capable of governing themselves, they are vacillating. They can't make up their minds. They can't make a good decision. And they're weak in purpose. Their moral powers are feeble. You are unable to think well. And they have but little spiritual power. That is, a desire to be good. The reason why they are thus weak and easily led by temptation is that they do not imitate the life of Christ. Instead of following in the footsteps of Jesus, the divine Redeemer, they are filled with pride and self-esteem. They think only of themselves. They study inclination. They say, what do I want to do? Instead of saying to themselves, what does Jesus want me to do? And follow the bent of their unconsecrated minds. Unconsecrated means we are not followers of Jesus. In a moment, he, Christ, distinguished or recognized the difference between right and wrong and placed sin in the light of God's commands. He said, this temptation is against God's law. Hold up the law as a mirror which reflected light upon wrong, holding up the law as a mirror which reflected light upon wrong. When someone says, take something that doesn't belong to you, you say, that doesn't belong to me, and God's law says, it's stealing. It was this keen discrimination, Jesus easily recognized the difference, between right and wrong that often provoked Christ's brothers to anger. They got angry with him because Jesus said, I can't do that because God's law forbids it. Yet his appeals and entreaties, Jesus begged his brothers not to break the law of God, and the sorrow expressed in his countenance or on his face revealed or showed such a tender, earnest love for them that they were ashamed of having tempted him to deviate or change from his strict sense of justice and loyalty. God will have a people zealous of good works. Zealous means you really want to do good or obey. Standing firm amid the pollutions or sins of this degenerate age or wicked time in which we live. There will be a people who hold so fast to the divine strength that they will be proof against every temptation. If you stay true to God, you will not be overcome by temptation to sin. Evil communication is flaming handbills may seek to speak to their senses and corrupt their minds. Handbills are like advertisements on the radio and TV that try to get you to do bad things. Yet they will be so united to God and angels that they will...
Amen, Mr. Lord. Thank you so much, dear Brother Dick. Well, dear ones, we will continue our review with part 3 of our lesson entitled At the Feast of Tabernacle in our study book, Desire of Ages. Any one of the little ones, mommies or daddy, or even our guests, would like to close with prayer? Bubble out.
Father God, thank you for thank you, sir. Thank you for allowing us to get this money. And thank you for allowing us to pray for our...
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, dear ones, I would like to just leave Psalms 33 for all our dear brethren that are going through difficulties with these weathering around the world. And just a reminder of who our God is. Psalms 93 reads, The Lord reigns. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he has girded himself. The world also is established, that it cannot be moved. Thy throne is established of old, though from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord, the flood have lifted up their voice. The flood lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waters of the sea. Thy testimony are very sure. Holiness becometh thy house, O Lord, forever. May you all continue in this blessed Sabbath. And I will just hand the study to our dear brother Bob. So God bless each and every one of you and be safe in Christ Jesus.